This is Global Media News on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Stephen Shaw.
And I am Christina Pierluis. This week we have news from Great Britain, China, India, Iraq, Egypt, France, and Russia.
From Great Britain?
Can text alerts keep people from falling for fake news in a crisis?
From the UK?
Do the British want to discover their news on Snapchat?
From China?
Why did an application to preschool go viral on social media in China? And can the government really censor social media in China?
From Iraq?
Why was an Instagram star killed in Iraq?
From Egypt?
Can Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi control the internet in Egypt?
From Paris?
What part did social media play in the terrorist attacks of 2015?
From India?
How did Bollywood star celebrate Diwali on social media?
From Russia and China?
What is the Falling Star Challenge?
All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
Sadly, terrorist attacks are not unusual in the UK. When terrorist attacks happen, dangerous rumors can spread quickly and can cause confusion. The government has a solution. Text alerts. Eli Petaway is in the United Kingdom beat this week. Eli, what is the problem and why are text message a solution in the crisis?
Europeans will now be sent an official alert on their phones if they are near a terrorist attack or natural disaster. The name of it is the Reverse 112. The EU plans to replace the traditional emergency sirens with this. They believe that this can reduce the risk of fake news causing more disorder. And the reason why they think that the text messages are solutions in a crisis, because they're implementing the system after they saw what happened during the Westminster in Paris attacks. They had a lack of early warning for passerbyers that was during that time, and they didn't know what to really do. They recognized that this posed a major threat on people's lives, and it was due to unofficial and inaccurate communication. The MEPs, which is the Military Entrance Processing Station, passed the legislation recently, and it will help alert people to threats and also help them and advise them on how to stay safe. The European governments are being asked to work with the mobile phone providers also, which can help to bring the new public warning system, which will have text messages telling people the nature of the threat, where it's located, and what are some of the best steps to take during that certain situation. There are people who are really happy about this system being set up. One goes by the name of Benyar Vivar, who is the public affairs manager for Brussels. He said that to take any of the recent large emergencies in Europe, whether man-made or natural, you will realize in most cases modern public warning was technology. But so far, we have largely failed to put them to good use. The new legislation ensures that from now on, we do. This is an excellent step forward for the safety of Europeans all around. Another example would be Levent Allen, who is the executive director at Victim Support for Europe. He said that we want a Europe that puts safety first, and the new legislation is an important step to that direction. Modern public warning will provide people with the right information at the right time, leading to less victims and to more saved lives, hopefully. It's very interesting to see how the world is reacting to this misinformation and fake news. There are more examples of other countries trying to make sure they don't fall for fake news and try to limit it, like Malaysia, which tried to actually criminalize fake news and made something called the Fake News Act, which easily got repealed because it's against their rights. Or even in Germany, they created a law that says media companies that won't take down false posts can be fined, actually. For Global Media News, I'm Elijah Petway. Back to you, Christina.
Thanks, Eli. Let's stay in the United Kingdom with a report by my co-host, Stephen Shaw. Snapchat has a news channel called Discover that publishers can use to deliver the news. Stephen, can you tell us about Snapchat Discover? What is Snapchat's relationship with the UK news media brand?
Well, recently, 17 UK news media brands have teamed up with Snapchat in a brand new partnership. Snapchat's a popular social media platform that many users in the UK frequently use. The new partnership was made in order for these UK media brands to create and release UK-focused television shows using the Snapchat video format.
How is this relationship beneficial to Snapchat?
The relationship is beneficial to Snapchat because the release of new UK television shows through the platform could lead to an increase in Snapchat users and viewership, More people will use the Snapchat app as a frequent social media platform.
Who are some of these news media brands?
Some of these UK news media brands that have partnered with Snapchat include Sky News, The Guardian, Vice, Cosmopolitan UK, Pink News, and Culture Trip.
What type of content will be presented on Snapchat?
The content presented on Snapchat will be news-oriented and also include entertainment. The UK brand Culture Trip will be releasing a new digital series called Hunger Lush, which will be celebrating local food dishes from around the world and celebrate passionate people behind food.
What is your opinion of Snapchat and its news media merger with UK news media brands?
I think that Snapchat is a good social media platform for finding trending news stories and staying updated with current trending events. I think that this new partnership between Snapchat and these UK media brands will be beneficial to them all. Snapchat will gain more users and viewers, while the UK news media brands will gain exposure for their content. For Global Media News, I'm Stephen Shaw. Back to you, Christina.
Thanks, Stephen Shaw.
Cody Zaffron has some social media news for us from China. Cody, you found a strange story about a young child's school application that became a viral sensation in China. The Chinese people seem to be really using social media. Can you tell us about that?
So Chinese parents put pressure on their kids to do well in school. Recently, a five-year-old boy had a 15-page resume of all his accomplishments put on the internet. It was submitted to a private school in Shanghai, and then someone leaked it. There was a lot of conversation about that.
What kind of conversation did it begin?
First of all, tens of thousands of people obviously had different opinions and weighed in was hashtagging about it. The boy had been viewed more than 38 million times. The conversation was about whether children in China sacrifice happiness because there is so much pressure to perform in school and then land good jobs after graduation.
Why do you think it started such a debate?
I think this was a story people in China could relate to, whether you relate as a student dealing with pressure or the parent who is just trying to help their child to do well in life. The use of social media lets the Chinese people stay connected and voice their opinion, even though in other areas there is censorship in their country. Social media lets them talk about their lives and lives of other people. For Global Media News, I'm Cody Zaffron. Back to you, Stephen.
Thanks, Cody. Ritheria Pierre is also looking at social media in China this week. Ritheria, you have been doing some research into the censorship of social media in China. Do the Chinese use the same social media platforms that we do in the U.S.?
First off, it's no doubt that China has the largest online population. Majority of people in Beijing and Hong Kong have some access to the internet and TV. I think one of the biggest concerns right now for reporters and many of the people who live in the different cities in China is the amount of restrictions and censoring that is on their social media platforms. Most homes in the cities of China have access to a TV and a smartphone, but it seems like the president isn't trying to restrict the censoring that is going on. I think he's trying to more control it. It's just the simple fact that the usage is different. In the U.S., we definitely use it as more of a platform to acknowledge certain things, voice our opinions, you know, brand, use it as commerce. But in China, it's definitely more regulated. I was reading many different articles. I think it's a really, you know, way too strict. And I think that they should be definitely more open to letting people voice their opinion and, you know, start movements and messages. Because I think everything out there is, like, in a sense, like, hidden, I guess you could say. I feel like it's because it's so regulated, they're not able to put out what they want. For Global Media News, I'm Ritheria Pierre. Back to you, Stephen.
Thanks, Ritheria. Up next, we have a report about violence in Iraq. Why was a social media star killed in Iraq? And what does that say about free speech and media in Iraq?
Social media celebrities attract a lot of attention and often a lot of hate. There are haters all over the world who troll social media stars. In September, a young woman was killed in Iraq because of her popularity in Instagram. Kelly Hintz has been following this story for us. Kelly, who is Tara Fares and what did she do? And why is her killing so significant for understanding social media in Iraq?
Tara Fares was a social media icon in her country, where she was the former Miss Baghdad and broke so many barriers for women in her country. Her major platform she used was Instagram, where she posted pictures relating to beauty and female independence. Unfortunately, Tara was shot in the head while driving in her convertible, and officials do not believe it was an accident. The young social media star received a lot of outside attention from other countries through her Instagram photos advocating her position for people that are unable to do so.
What is social media like in Iraq?
Well, in Iraq, television is the most prominent media outlet, so social media usage is not as high as other countries. According to their BBC media profile, the internet development in Iraq is behind compared to other local regions, with around 13% of the population logging on. Facebook and WhatsApp are Iraq's most popular social media platforms, which is how Fares' Instagram following may have gotten her into trouble. The Western lifestyle that Tara chose to live was something extremely taboo for her culture, which is why many people are believing that she was targeted. It is possible that the lack of knowledge that people have about Instagram in that country fuels their rage surrounding it.
Why are Iraqis fearful?
People are fearful because a young woman's life was taken from her during broad daylight hours. If this somehow was a target, what message are the people involved trying to tell women like Tara? A string of prior deaths, all young, outspoken women in Iraq, are what's leading to this investigation. If this accusation is true, it could be a major step backwards for women in Iraq. It is scary for a society as a whole when people are being killed for being themselves. As this investigation goes underway, Iraq's media should be under a close eye on what the public eyes are going to be able to view. For Global Media News, this is Kelly. Back to you, Christina.
Thanks, Kelly. Egypt is another country where the internet can be a dangerous place for free speech. Brianna Smith is here to report on the state of the internet in Egypt. Brianna, what do we need to know about the Egyptian government president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, so that we can understand his government's attempt to control the internet in Egypt?
The president, he wants to approve the law that supervises social media accounts to block all the content that can be a threat to the national security or even the economy. Egypt is currently placed as 161 out of 180 countries in the press freedom ranking of Global Media Rights Organization Reporters Without Borders. They want to block the internet because there's a lot of fake news that's been spread or can cause violence or hatred. Fattah el-Sisi, he wants to make sure that's blocked.
Thanks, Vienna. Paris has also suffered from terrorist attacks. How has social media played an important part in these attacks?
My co-host Christina Pierre-Louise is ready to talk to us about social media and terrorism. In 2015, there was an attack in Paris that shocked the world. Christina, remind us about this incident and what we could learn about the role of social media during and after the attack. What happened in Paris in 2015?
Just to give a flashback about the Paris attacks, it occurred on Friday the 13th, November of 2015. It was a series of attacks happening all in one night. The first one happened at 9:20 p.m., where an explosion went off outside the sports stadium. The second explosion occurred at 9:30 on the same street. A third explosion went off at 9:53. During these incidents, bombs were being set off by three suicide bombers who died performing their mission and one civilian who happens to be walking by during the explosions. As these explosions are setting off, a gunman has killed about 15 people at the intersection of Rue Albert and Rue Bichat with assault rifles. At another location, five people died in a shooting outside of a restaurant. Another 19 people are gunned down. At a separate location, a fourth suicide bomber sets off another explosion that kills himself and causes injuries to others. The attack with the most casualties occurred at Bacha Khan Concert Hall, where 90 people died as gunmen began shooting during the performance at a hall. A few days later, ISIS, an Islamic terrorist group, took credit for causing such an attack. Some of the roles that social media played during those attacks included Facebook when they created a safety check feature that would allow for people in Paris to let their Facebook friends know that they were safe. They also created a profile page filter where people could put flags of France over their profile in efforts to show their support. This allowed for more widespread awareness to be brought to the tragedy. Twitter created a tool called New Moments that made the Paris attacks top trending news and shared prayers from celebrities and other social media users. Twitter also created the hashtag such as Pray for Paris that quickly went viral and got retweeted over 6 million times. Hashtags that encouraged people to offer shelter to people that were in need and provided information about those who may have been injured and promoted love, prayers, and concerns. Some of the ways that terrorists used social media, there was a beheading of a journalist named James Foley. He was abducted by ISIS, and his tragic death was posted all over social media for the world to see. Before these attacks happened, there was an app called Telegram where they were able to send messages about the attacks, and it had a lot of privacy, making it difficult for others to be aware of the messages being sent. Since the Paris attack, they also have discussed different ways that social media has become more powerful and outspoken since the attacks. Racism, terrorism, and unjust activities quickly go viral, and many people express their outrage through social media sites such as Facebook and Twitter. After the attack, many more users began to express their concerns and discontent with different areas of issues, especially with those to do with politics and how to deal with terrorism and attack. For Global Media News, I'm Christina Pierre-Louise. Back to you, Stephen.
Thanks, Christina. India is a long way from France. Jennifer Sadana is our Bollywood beat reporter. This week, Jennifer is reporting on the way that Bollywood stars celebrate Diwali on social media. Jennifer, how is social media a good way to inform others on traditions and holidays in Indian culture?
Well, social media is a huge part of everyone's life. We are able to view one's profile at the click of a button. Many Bollywood celebrities have social media accounts on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. They use these platforms to engage with their fan base as well as inform people around the world about traditional Indian cultures such as Diwali. And social media is a great way to spread knowledge and awareness.
What does the holiday of Diwali symbolize?
So Diwali is the Festival of Lights, which is celebrated from October to November. It is associated with something called Lakshmi, which is the goddess of prosperity, and marks the beginning of the physical year in India. Many celebrate Diwali by lighting candles around their home, reciting prayers at home or temple, and throwing parties in celebration on this happy occasion. Many dress in Indian clothing and spend this time with family and friends. I myself go to temple with my family where we light diyas, which are traditional Indian candles in honor of the holiday.
How have celebrities used social media platforms to show the celebration of Diwali?
Well, for example, Anaya Pandey, a famous Indian actress in the Bollywood industry, she had posted herself in a vibrantly colored lehenga, which is a long skirt, which is found in traditional Indian culture. And she was at a party, which I said before, there's a lot of parties thrown, and there was one hosted in Mumbai by Abu Jani, who is also a very famous Indian actor. And also, I believe this is a great way to show the beautiful colors that Indian outfits have and their bright and vivid detail that they have on their clothing. She looked stunning, and she had a lot of traction from the post as well. Many people commented, and many of her fans engaged with her. Another actress named Shweta Bachchan had posted a photo on Instagram with Karan Johar, who is a talk show host, and he was wearing a kurta, which is typically what Indian men wear on Diwali, which is a long shirt and pants. And not only does social media allow celebrities to show what they are doing, but it also allows them to show the diversity in the traditional clothing that people wear on this joyous occasion. I believe that social media is a great way to connect with others and for fans to be updated on the lives of their favorite actors in Bollywood. For Global Media News, I'm Jennifer Sadana. Back to you, Stephen.
Thanks, Jennifer. Have you heard of the Falling Stars Challenge? If you lived in Russia or China, you would know all about the viral hashtag challenge. Rachel Bromelar is following the story. Rachel, when did the Falling Star Challenge originate?
The Falling Stars Challenge originated in Russia. It actually started in early October.
It's also known as the Flaunt Your Wealth Challenge. It didn't start heavily trending until Chinese social media influencers adopted the challenge on like Weibo or Instagram.
What is the Falling Stars Challenge about?
The idea behind the Falling Stars Challenge is to post photos of themselves spayed out on the ground in front of their luxury vehicle, whether it's like a car or a private jet, and they surround themselves with their expensive personal items. The photo is supposed to look like they were like casually walking out their car or jet, carrying all their items at once, and then artfully falling down, causing all the items to drop out their hands. Most people surround themselves with like really expensive luxury designer clothes, designer accessories, or just like an amount of cash that's like ridiculous. Although popular wealthy Chinese influencers adopted the challenge and made it the Falling Stars Challenge, but the lower middle class of China actually started a parody of the challenge. So it's like the other Chinese users of Weibo and Instagram, they show like their struggles they face during like their everyday lives. So for example, it's like college students or just regular students, they're dressed casually falling out of like their desks with like items spread out with like textbooks or loose change or pencils. For Global Media News, I am Rachel Bromiller. Back to you, Stephen.
Thank you, Rachel. That's all for this week. Thanks to our producer, Kristen Brave, and thanks to Christina Pierre-Louise for hosting with me this week. Our engineer is Miguel Castro.
Today we heard reports from Kelly Hentz, Eli Petaway, Withia Pierre, Christina Pierre-Louise, Stephen Shaw, Jennifer Sedana, Brianna Smith, Cody Zaffron, and Rachel Bromiller.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feeds.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.